Blog Talk Radio.
Repentance. How shall a man be just with God? How shall the sinner be made righteous? It is only through Christ that we can be brought into harmony with God, with holiness. But how are we to come to Christ? Many are asking the same question as did the multitude on the day of Pentecost when, convicted of sin, they cried out, "What shall we do?" The first word of Peter's answer was, "Repent," Acts 2, verse 37 and 38. At another time, shortly after, he said, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out," Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repentance includes sorrow for sin and a turning away from it. We shall not renounce sin unless we see its sinfulness. Unless we turn away from it in heart, there will be no real change in the life. There are many who fail to understand the true nature of repentance. Multitudes sorrow that they have sinned, and even make an outward reformation because they fear that their wrongdoing will bring suffering upon themselves. But this is not repentance in the Bible sense. They lament the suffering rather than the sin. Such was the grief of Esau when he saw that the birthright was lost to him forever. Balaam, terrified by the angel standing in his pathway, with drawn sword, acknowledged his guilt lest he should lose his life. But there was no genuine repentance for sin, no conversion of purpose, no abhorrence of evil. Judas Iscariot, after betraying his Lord, exclaimed, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood," Matthew 27:4. The confession was forced from his guilty soul by an awful sense of condemnation and a fearful looking for of judgment. The consequences that were to result to him filled him with terror, but there was no deep, heartbreaking grief in his soul that he had betrayed the spotless Son of God and denied the Holy One of Israel. Pharaoh, when suffering under the judgments of God, acknowledged his sin in order to escape further punishment, but returned to his defiance of heaven as soon as the plagues were stayed. These all lamented the results of sin, but did not sorrow for the sin itself. But when the heart yields to the influence of the Spirit of God, the conscience will be quickened, and the sinner will discern something of the depth and sacredness of God's holy law, the foundation of his government in heaven and on earth. The light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world illumines the secret chambers of the soul, and the hidden things of darkness are made manifest. John 1:9. Conviction takes hold upon the mind and heart. The sinner has a sense of the righteousness of Jehovah and feels the terror of appearing in his own guilt and uncleanness before the searcher of hearts. He sees the love of God, the beauty of holiness, the joy of purity. He longs to be cleansed and to be restored to communion with heaven. The prayer of David after his fall illustrates the nature of true sorrow for sin. His repentance was sincere and deep. There was no effort to palliate his guilt. No desire to escape the judgment threatened inspired his prayer. David saw the enormity of his transgression. He saw the defilement of his soul. He loathed his sin. It was not for pardon only that he prayed, but for purity of heart. He longed for the joy of holiness, to be restored to harmony and communion with God. This was the language of his soul. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 14. A repentance such as this is beyond the reach of our own power to accomplish. It is obtained only from Christ, who ascended up on high and has given gifts unto men. Just here is a point on which many may err, and hence they fail of receiving the help that Christ desires to give them. They think that they cannot come to Christ unless they first repent, and that repentance prepares for the forgiveness of their sins. It is true that repentance does precede the forgiveness of sins, for it is only the broken and contrite heart that will feel the need of a Savior. But must the sinner wait till he has repented before he can come to Jesus? Is repentance to be made an obstacle between the sinner and the Savior? The Bible does not teach that the sinner must repent before he can heed the invitation of Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. It is the virtue that goes forth from Christ that leads to genuine repentance. Peter made the matter clear in his statement to the Israelites when he said, Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. We can no more repent without the Spirit of Christ to awaken the conscience than we can be pardoned without Christ. Christ is the source of every right impulse. He is the only one that can implant in the heart enmity against sin. Every desire for truth and purity, every conviction of our own sinfulness, is an evidence that His Spirit is moving upon our hearts. Jesus has said, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. John chapter 12, verse 32. Christ must be revealed to the sinner as the Savior dying for the sins of the world. And as we behold the Lamb of God upon the cross of Calvary, the mystery of redemption begins to unfold to our minds, and the goodness of God leads us to repentance. In dying for sinners, Christ manifested a love that is incomprehensible, and as the sinner beholds this love, it softens the heart, impresses the mind, and inspires contrition in the soul. It is true that men sometimes become ashamed of their sinful ways and give up some of their evil habits before they are conscious that they are being drawn to Christ. But whenever they make an effort to reform from a sincere desire to do right, it is the power of Christ that is drawing them, an influence of which they are unconscious works upon the soul, and the conscience is quickened, and the outward life is amended. And as Christ draws them to look upon his cross, to behold him whom their sins have pierced, the commandment comes home to the conscience. The wickedness of their life, the deep-seated sin of the soul, is revealed to them. They begin to comprehend something of the righteousness of Christ and exclaim, "What is sin that it should require such a sacrifice for the redemption of its victim? Was all this love, all this suffering, all this humiliation demanded that we might not perish, but have everlasting life?" The sinner may resist this love, may refuse to be drawn to Christ, but if he does not resist, he will be drawn to Jesus. A knowledge of the plan of salvation will lead him to the foot of the cross in repentance for his sins, which have caused the suffering of God's dear Son. The same divine mind that is working upon the things of nature is speaking to the hearts of men, and creating an inexpressible craving for something they have not. The things of the world cannot satisfy their longing. The Spirit of God is pleading with them to seek for those.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Sister Paula, Sister Leola. I'm open up in prayer, and I just want to say thank you, Sister Powell, for coming on, and let me begin with a word of prayer. No one but us is on right now, so let us begin with a word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, Father, we come to you on this Sunday evening to thank you, Father, for your blessing of allowing us to get on the prayer line once again to fellowship and to worship. Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit. We pray for your blessing to be with us on the prayer line. We ask him that you would have your people to come on and share and sing and do all these things, Father, to give you honor and praise. Heavenly Father, we also want to thank you, Father, for this prayer line and asking that you continue to bless this prayer line and be with us on this prayer line as we just read in scriptures and sharing the word. Father, we just thank you so much for the blessing of this day to come to you once again to be able to fellowship. So, Father, we ask him for you to lead and guide us on the prayer line to bless your word as we read that. We send up to you, Father. We just ask you to continue to be with us, and we give you thanks. We praise you, Father, for this prayer line once again. We ask that you continually to build this prayer line and blessing it, and especially to keep this prayer line on that people can come on and share. So we thank you for Sister Powell and her ministry. We thank you for her hosting and all the others that host. So thank you once again, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. And Sister Powell, I would like to, Sister Brenda done open the put her hand up already. So I'm going to open your line. Amen. Sister Powell, your line is open. So Sister Brenda have pressed one. You there?
Yes, I'm here, but that will welcome first and then after. Your prayer.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
you
line
can
open.
Welcome.
You can go ahead.
You can
now,
bring
Sister
the welcome.
Powell. Go ahead. No, you go
okay.
ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters in Advent Light. Thank God that, you know, we are here again. And we thank Sister Leola to open and also to lead us in prayer. Now we welcome everyone. And we are asking our brothers and sisters to press number one that they can share your praise report, song, scripture reading. And let us just give God the praise because he's worthy to be praised. Welcome again, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. And we are going to now open the line for 985. Your line is open. 985.
Good evening, Sister Powell. Thank you for opening my line. I have Sister Leola, and I just want I just want to thank God for watching over us and waking us up. Thank the Lord for giving us this privilege tonight to be on the prayer line. I want to read a devotion prayer. Forgive me, Father, for I am so far from perfect, like a prodigal son. I have wasted so much of your knowledge on trivial pursuit and have, of course, pain to others. Lord, I beg that you help me realize when I cause harm to others so that I can quickly apologize for my misdeeds. Help me carefully choose the words that I say so that others will comfort rather than anger by my speech. Amen. Amen. I want to thank the Lord for these words that we can use to go by to live each day, moment, hour, and thank him for being so good to us, because it's a blessing we have something to go by. So I just want to ask for prayer for it being like ministry so it can prosper and we can get more people, and for all those that on the line, pray for it being like ministry. Pray for all the ones missing and all those that come on, all those sick in the hospital or wherever they may be. Just want to pray for those with business that needs to prosper and so on. So just thanks for opening our line. Amen. Brother John going past, he's driving. We just leaving Sister Leola. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother John. Brother John is with you, but they are driving. Thank you for coming on the line, and thank you for a wonderful devotional prayer. And, you know, the love in your heart, praying on behalf of our brothers and sisters, and praying to God that God will bring back our brothers and sisters on this line. And that is our prayer. God is so good. He's worthy to be praised. I just want to thank God for what you have been doing. So, brothers and sisters on the line, we're going to have a little song, right? So please to listen to the word. And we are asking you to press number one. Will your anchor in the storm of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure was the Lord's role. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. If to safely mourn till the storm will stand, fortress will secure by the Savior's hand. And the cables pass from his heart to thine, can defile the blessed to strength divine. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure, while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which
cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It will firmly hold in the straits of fear when the breakers tell that the reef is near. Though the tempest rage and the wild wind blow, not an angry wave shall the bark or flow. We have an anchor keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fast and firm and deep to the Savior's shore. Can hang on in the Savior's love. When our high behold in the drawing line, shining gates of pearl on the harbor bright, we shall anchor fast to the heavenly shore. With the storm all past forevermore, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Yes, brothers and sisters, we have an anchor, dear. Jesus Christ is our anchor, and he will hold us safe to that shore. So despite of what we are going through, let us trust that anchor, Jesus Christ, who promised that he will be with us even to the end of time. Even to what is happening around, he promised he will keep us through. So our hope, our faith, our trust is to keep keeping on and trusting him, because we know he will carry us through. Yeah, we are asking again, I feel like Sister Brenda wanted to, I say the line, our number put up again. 985, Sister Brenda, you have something more to say? Sister Brenda?
No, that's the power. No, I didn't have anything else to say.
You put on the song?
No, I think it's about your computer playing the song.
Okay.
Yeah, that's your computer. Yeah.
It can
yeah,
work.
I didn't put it on to tell
you
all about
it. You didn't put it on? Okay.
No.
Okay, hold on, Sister, let me take it off.
All right, next. I think I stopped Sister Brenda talk already, right? And said Brother John would look up. All right, make it sing. Make it sing.
I'm gonna take it off. Okay.
Uh-huh.
You got to take it off like that. Okay, Sister Powell, it's off. And well, Sister Powell, can I share?
Sure. Yeah, but
okay.
No one
well,
else
just would,
trying to say
I
something.
I just would like to share. I just like to share a scripture, and I would like to share one of my favorite scriptures. It's I got quite a few, but one of my favorite ones. I'm going to share Isaiah. Okay, this is one of them.
Psalm 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and to open up the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. I'm going to stop there. As I read this, I'm so grateful to know that God gave his gospel to each and every one of us, that we can go out and share his gospel, because the gospel is the good news that, you know, some that may be in bondage, or some that may be sick, or whatever the problem is, God helped us to be able to love one another, and that we can give someone good news and to help lift them up. So by God's grace, we want to lift up all our brothers and sisters. I want to lift up Sister Brenda and Brother John while they traveling, because as Brother Ray, we know Brother Ray was traveling, and we know what happened. Now Sister Brenda and Brother John is traveling home. So I would like to lift them up in prayer, Sister Power, just to ask the Father to give them protection. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you once again, Father, just to lift up our brothers and sisters in prayer, knowing, Father, that you have already spoken, that you are our protector, you are our provider, you are our help in all things. So, Heavenly Father, we asking in the name of your Son, Yeshua, Father, to send your angels before my sister and my brother, Father, to give them protection and to cover them all around their vehicle with safe traveling mercy. And Father, we ask that you bind every evil spirit or anything that's trying to come up against them, Father, and we ask that you lead them to their destination, that they may get home, Father, and be there to help with her grandchildren. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your blessings and all the things that you have said to us. Lift them up in prayer and believe and have faith, and you will do it. So, Father, we thank you for all the hope and the blessings and all the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, which you have given in this world. You said your Son will come into this world and die for sinners. And as he have done that, Father, he said all power was given unto him from his Father, and that he have taken the key of death from to be able to help us now, and we can come to you in repentance. So we asking you to forgive us our sins. We asking you to please, Father, to look in our heart, Father, and help us to strive and to be more perfect as your Son has given us an example. So thank you, Father. We asking you to bless this prayer line. We asking for the blessing of our brothers and sisters that will join us. And we even asking you, Father, to watch over them in protection, keep them safe as they are driving home, whomever that's driving home. So, Lord, we asking you to keep them. And we asking you to also bless them to have the wisdom and knowledge and the understanding that God wants us to have, to seek him while he's able to be found. Father, while we have blood, the warm blood running through our body. So, Lord, please help your children to know right from wrong. And you say, choose right, and will we be blessed? That's what you told Cain. If you were to choose right, you would have been blessed. But Cain chose the wrong way. So, Lord, we ask him that your children choose the right, and we will be blessed. We thanking you and your Son, Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So thank you, Sister Powell, for hosting. And, oh, Father, I forgot to lift Sister Powell up tonight because sometimes the enemy want to come in because she knows she's faithful. And, Lord, we lift up to you. Father, I'm asking that in every way, Lord, your daughter has proclaimed your word, and she do what you ask, Father, and the enemy want to put so much pressure in problems, throwing problems in the way. But, Lord, I'm asking that you bless and remove every spirit that's trying to come up against your child, and I'm asking you to bless her and keep her, Father. And we're thanking you because she's there to pray for so many. She's there to help so many. And you know what? The enemy don't want that. So, Father, we're thanking you once again for the blessing of your daughter, what she do for everyone. In the name of Yeshua again, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, again for hosting.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for joining us again and for the prayer, you know, and also the scripture reading. God is so good. And brothers and sisters, despite Sister Leola is going through a hard time, you know, God is being with her and her husband. We could be on the line or we could be home and her hear this terrible sad news. Her husband was going to work yesterday morning, and he met into an accident, brothers and sisters. Someone running his back, and it's just God and his angels who protect Brother Ray from death, because the Lord said, and the angel, Brother Ray, this is not your time. And now we all here asking each one of you that we can present Brother Ray to the Lord, you know, and in prayer, and ask the Lord to help him that he will get safe recovery, Lord, from the pain and the ache. But we are so grateful for the Lord for what he has done. He has done great things, and we are to be praised tonight that our brother is home. He's not in the hospital. Our brother did not get any broken bone. He is there, but he is still under pain. So I'm asking every one of us, let us remember Brother Ray and Sister Leola in prayer. Thanks. All right. Opening this line. Oh, Lord. Sorry. I do the wrong line. 423, your line is open. Sorry, I was opening the wrong line. Thank you, my dear sister. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Yes. Amen. Thank you. Good evening. Thank you, Sister Powell, for opening up my line. This is Sister Carla. I'm calling from Tennessee. I'm just thanking the Lord for his many blessings, thanking him for protection, for mercy, for love. You know, he said, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. While we have no recollection, you know, didn't know him, nothing to do with him, he saw us, and he knew that we would be here at this time, and he died for us so that we can have life and life more abundantly. So I just want to thank the Lord for loving us and you know, providing and protecting, as you said, Sister Leola, husband got in an accident. Someone hit him, but I'm just thanking the Lord that he's okay and just giving praise and glory, because anything could have happened, and we know the devil's come in like a flood. He's trying to distract us, trying to cause chaos and problems, because, you know, we're trying to do the Lord's work, and the devil come in and trying to distract, but you know, we just have to trust in the Lord, and he will supply. He will take care of us. Amen. I want to sing a song. Just giving God thanks. Wonderful Word of Life. I'll sing Wonderful Word of Life.
Amen.
Please, listen to the the word. I thank the Lord for, you know, giving me the assurance to sing and make a joyful noise unto him. And, you know, song is a weapon. It's a prayer. And we all supposed to, it said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we also praise the Lord. When we was in the world, we're singing the worldly song, but we are children of God. We have a renewed heart, so we have to praise God with our all our being. So sing them over again to me, wonderful words of love. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of love. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the blessed one give to all wonderful words of life. Sinners listen to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Often pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. So we know the words of life that Christ has left us, his promises, is for each and every one of us. And when we read them, when we meditate upon them, when we put them in our prayer, they're beautiful, they're wonderful, they're promises that we can hold unto, knowing that God is not like man, that he should lie, and we should keep these promises near to us. As in John 22, verse 37, it reads, and Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest command. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commands hang all the laws of the prophets. So we just thank the Lord for his commandments. But in two, we can separate the Ten Commandments and simplify them in two, love for God and love for our neighbor. And what a mighty God we serve. He doesn't ask us what we can't give him. He asks, he supply our needs. He supply the will for us to be able to keep his law, keep his commandments, and call unto him, and he will hear us. You know, he's waiting for us to come unto him. He said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And also I think upon 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, he said unto them, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When we are weak, which we are weakling, we are the weakest of all generation, because our forefathers, you know, most of them live up to, you know, 900, 600, 500, but we see because of sin, as we come down to our generation, dear, you know, health issue, and we're living less, and we're having so much disease and so much problems and so much health issues. But we just want to thank the Lord for his mercy and his love for us. And if you don't mind, before 8, I can do a word of prayer whenever you're ready, because I'll be going into work. But I just thank you again for opening up my line, Sister Powell, and I'm just praising the Lord for supplying all my needs. Sometimes, you know, a lot of people, they're single or alone, and they're lonely, but I have so much to do, so much to keep me busy. There's not a lonely moment. There's, you know, the Bible to read, the spirit of prophecy. You cannot, I don't know, in your life, in my lifetime, I don't know if I'll get to read all of it. So I'm thanking the Lord every moment I get, and I talk to him and how he let me find things. And sometimes, Lord, where is this? And I find it, and I'm just jumping up and down and saying, thank you, Jesus, and just like a little kid. So I just thank the Lord for his love, each and every one of us. Thank you again.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I just want to thank Sister Carla for that wonderful song of, you know, wonderful words of life. We have to thank God because he gave us the truth in his word. And as our dear sister singing the song and also giving praise, she presents a sermon just in a minute, right? Whole sermon for us, you know. The joy within her heart by studying God's word, the spirit of prophecy, word, and also the Bible, the truth. And when the Holy Spirit, you know, placed down upon you, you can't complain that you are single because there's so much joy in the word. And God wants us. He said, I wish above all things that we prosper and be in good health. And he also said he loved to hear when his children settle in the truth, in 3 John. So we are so grateful, Sister Carla, that you can praise the Lord in songs, praise the Lord, in sharing the testimony, reading the scripture, and also following his command with the help message to be going out and share with others. So we want to thank you, and we will open for you to pray, and we wish you safe traveling, mercy to work, and also from work. Thank you again for that wonderful song. 518-744, I open your line. Can you tell your name, where you're calling from? 518-744. Can you check your phone if it's mute? Okay. All right, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. I will open up just. Okay. 272-770. Your line is open.
Thank you, Sister Powell, for opening my line. This is Tymeco from Pennsylvania. God bless you all, my dear brothers and sisters. I would like to sing a song.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Take sides with Jehovah is taken from Exodus chapter 32, verse 26. Once with confusion our sad hearts will fill, drinking the cup false religion distilled. But with what happiness our hearts were filled, when our God kingdom we heard. Take sides with Jehovah, make him your delight. He'll never forsake you, walk on in his light. Tell trouble glad tidings of freedom in peace. By Christ Jesus will ever increase. Shoulder to shoulder we stand on God's side, preaching the good news of kingdom earth wide. Now is the time for each one to decide. Time to take sides with our God. Take sides with Jehovah. Make him your delight. He'll never forsake you. Walk on in his light. Tell the glad tidings of freedom and peace. Israel by Christ Jesus will ever increase. We will not fear what the devil can do. Trust in Jehovah will carry us through. Though they are many and though we are few, God is our strength and our might. Take sides with Jehovah, make him your delight. He'll never forsake you. Walk on in his light. Have a glad tidings of freedom and peace. Israel by Christ Jesus will ever increase.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much, my dear sister, and I'd like to say a prayer for our dear sister Leola and her husband.
Amen.
Heavenly
what you, yes, sister, can you tell me the chapter you said, Exodus 32, 20, something?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. That song was taken from Exodus chapter 32, verse 26, to take sides
okay.
with Jehovah.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. I just wanted to say a small prayer for our dear sister, Leola, and her husband. I'm so sorry to hear what has happened to him, but I praise the Lord that with his grace and mercy that he's still here with us. So thank the Lord for that. Amen. Heavenly Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this precious day. We thank you that we're able to be on this prayer line together as brothers and sisters, that we may fellowship together, Lord. We thank you that you woke us up this morning in our right mind. We thank you that you put your precious breath into our lungs. We are so grateful to have you in our lives, dear Lord. We're so thankful that you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. We are grateful that Jeremiah 31:3, you said you love us with an everlasting love. Father God, we lift up right now your dear sister, Sister Leola. Continue to strengthen, guide, and keep her, Father God. Be with her, Father. We are lifting up her husband, Brother Ray. Dear Lord, thank you for saving his life, Father God. Thank you for being there for him, Father God. Always you are there for us. You never leave us nor forsake us. And we thank you, Father God, in Psalms 91. We stand on your promises. Psalms 91, verses 7 through 11, where it says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near you, Brother Ray. No, nor shall any evil nor plague come near your dwelling. And for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So we have the Lord's promises, and we know that his word never returns void. We thank you, dear Lord, that you are always with us, dear Lord. And Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you, and he will not leave you nor forsake you. So we know, dear Lord, that you are with us. We know that you will heal your dear brother, Brother Ray. You are the great physician. You are the Alpha. You are the Almighty King. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. We know that you will heal him, dear Lord. There is a healing balm in Gilead. We ask that you heal your dear brother, Ray. Make him well again. By your stripes, we are healed. Taken from Isaiah 53, verse 5. So we know, dear Lord, that you are awesome. You are almighty. You can do all things but fail. We lift him up and we place him in your holy hands, that you will continue to heal his body. Heal every cell in his body, Lord. Heal every organ in his body and make him well again, dear Lord. Be with the family. Strengthen them. Comfort them. Dear Lord, let them know that you are in control. You have the final say. So you, dear Lord, will take care of your dear son and your dear daughter, Sister Leola. We ask you place a shield of guardian angels of protection around their home. We plead the blood of Jesus over them right now, dear Lord. Place the blood over their doorposts of their home. Place the blood over every window post of their home. Safeguard and protect them. Dispatch your guardian holy angels around their home, dear Lord, to keep them safe and protected. We thank you so much for this precious family, dear Lord. And we place them in your hands right now. We leave in your precious care and keeping in the precious and mighty name of King Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray, amen and amen. Praise God, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, my dear beloved sister Amiko, for that wonderful song, and also pray for Brother Ray and Sister Leola for the good, great thing that the Lord have done in their life, in Brother Ray's life yesterday. Thank you. And also the song came time with the Jehovah. And as I was reading the Exodus 32:26, my dear, it reminded us of the story. It said, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, remember when the people were doing all that is wrong in the sight of the Lord, and when Moses came down and saw what they were doing, that he stood before the camp and he said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me, and all the sons of Levi gather themselves together unto him. You know? So we all want to be on the Lord's side, brothers and sisters on this land. So let us be faithful so that we will be on the Lord's side. So I'm going to open the line for Sister Carla. She will be leaving soon, that she can lead us in prayer for all the various requests, my dear beloved Sister Carla. Brother Eli requests, I'll continually pray for your family, Richardson family, and also Brother Udi, the business and the family over there. And also pray for the disaster that took place, I think, Saturday night, the flooding and the storm. Pray for those people who had lost everything. And also lift up Brother Eli, Team Jari, Shamiko, Sister Tamiko family, my family, the bereaved, our church family, and all who you come contact with, your priest, to lift them up to the Lord. Your line is
amen. Open. Yes, thank you, Sister Paul. Let us pray, brothers and sisters. Kind and loving Father, we thank you for every moment, every opportunity we get to come and pray, Lord, and intercede on the behalf of our brothers and our sisters, our family, and our friends, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this moment, Lord, because heaven is waiting for us to come and make our petition known, Lord. May it be according to your will, O Father. May you hear this prayer, Father. You said while they are yet speaking, you hear them. And before they speak, you hear. And while they are yet speaking, you answer, O Father. Please let it be with this prayer, O Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. May you touch those that are suffering right now in Illinois, in Kentucky, O Father. Have mercy upon them, Lord, that have lost their home, the family that are mourning, those that have lost their life, O Lord. Father, have mercy, O Father. We know not the time of your coming, Lord, and we know not the time that we should leave this earth, Lord. We see so much is going on around us, O Lord. Let us be prepared all time to meet you. Let us be ready, O Father, forgive us of our sins. Let us repent each and every day that we come before you with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let it be known unto you, O Lord, that you will convict us of any wrongdoing that we have done or said, O Lord, so that our name could stay and remain in the book of life, Lord. I thank you for Sister Powell. I lift her up right now in a mark way that you will bless her, that you will hear her prayer and answer her accordingly, O Father, that you will intercede on the behalf of the bereaved and her family, O Lord, her children, her grandchildren, Father, her daughter, her son, O Father, her family as a whole, each and every one she come in contact with, Lord. We claim them for your kingdom in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you ever so much for the protection of Sister Leo, Brother Ray, Sister Leola's husband, Lord. I thank you for preserving him and saving him, O Father, for a time just like as this, Lord, that he can give his testimony, that he can praise you, O Lord, in the midst of the storm, and he can say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me because you have a special work, Lord. Please bless them and guide them, supply their needs according to your riches and glory, Lord. We thank you for Brother Eli, his mother, Lord. He's always lifting her up. What a good child to lift up their parents in prayer, Lord. He's lifting up his friends, O Lord, his classmate, Lord. We ask that you will touch them right now and speak to them in a language that they can understand, Lord. Show your love and your mercy upon them, their life, their family, O Lord. Help them to surrender everything to you, O Father, so that they can be saved, Lord. Also, Sister Tymeka and her family, we ask that you will visit them in a special way, Lord. We ask that you will heal them and touch them, whatever infirmity, whatever problems that they might have, whatever they're in need of, Lord, you know it. And I ask that you will help them. I ask that you will supply their needs according to your riches and glory, O Father. I ask that there will be healing and health, O Father. I ask that there will be repentance in the heart, O Father, of my dear sister and her family. We all, Lord, have to repent and come to know you as our personal Savior before it's too late, Lord. Please have mercy upon each and everyone on the prayer line. The unspoken prayer requests, O Father, comes into your ears day by day, night by night. O Father, you wake us up so that we can pray because we don't know who is being tempted, who is in a bad condition, O Lord. So, Lord, we come and we ask you for health and strength. Please bless the Calvier family and the Pinsaw in the midst of Arkansas, Lord. You have put them there for a reason just as this. And I pray that you will strengthen them. And I pray for the brethren that's out there helping them to minister to the lost, the sick, the brokenhearted, O Lord, the destitute, O Father, that you will bind their hearts to yours and that they will repent and come to know you as their personal Savior, Lord. Please be with Brother Bernard also and his family as he's recovering from COVID, with Elder Rick, O Father, Brother O'Neill, Father, Sister Brenda, Brother John and their family, Sister Katie and her family, Sister Stephanie, Sister Consonelli, O Lord, the dear sister, Father Barnaby, O Father, we thank you for her. I miss her singing and her joy and her song, O Father. Touch her, Father, in the name of Jesus. May she continue to minister to those that she come in contact with, Lord. And please bless those that are not on the line, that used to be on the line, Lord. You know their needs. You know what's going on with them at this time, O Father. I pray that they're still in the faith, that they're still in the message, O Father, that they're continuing to go strong, O Lord. Touch Sister Susan and Amarqua and her family, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that I get to lift up my brothers and sisters. Nothing great that I have done, but because of your mercy and your love, Lord, that you're hearing this prayer and you will answer it accordingly, O Father. Bless us, strengthen us, children, O Father. Help them and save them for your name's sake, the youth, Lord. Please bring them back into a saving, loving relationship with you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. We glorify your name. We lift up everyone we came in contact with. We're passing tracts. We're passing books. We're praying for them. We're smiling with them. We're telling them about the name, the love of Jesus, O Lord. Please minister to them. Send your ministering angel by their side, O Lord, to comfort them. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Carla, for praying for us. And brothers and sisters, Sister Carla is traveling to work, so I'm going to lift her up in prayer. Kind and loving, righteous Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy wonderful name. We thank you, Lord, for this privilege of prayer. We thank you for this great opportunity that we have, that we can come and sit at your feet. Now, dear Lord, you have heard the request, the call, Lord, of your dear sister who had presented each and every name on this line, Lord, and those who are out. Father, now we present her to you. She is traveling, Lord, Father, to her work. Take care of the elderly. We ask you, Lord, for your protection. We ask you for your love and your mercies towards her. We ask you to pour out your sweet Holy Spirit upon her and give her traveling mercies to her destination, and allow her, Lord, when she goes in, that the Holy Spirit will present there among her clientele, and that they will be filled, they will be lightened. They will be filled with your glory, Lord, just the experience, Lord, of having their dear sister with them. Bless her, keep her. And as she prayed for us, I agree with every request. And I know where you are, and these prayers centered to you in the most holy sanctuary. We ask you to hear our prayer and answer our cry. Thank you for hearing, and thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, we want to thank you all for joining and to welcome everyone on this line. And I know our brothers and our sisters, no stranger for this line.
Right.
So I'm asking you to press 1 so that you can be able to share. I think tonight is Brother Akin. I have not hear or see anything yet of Brother Akin, but I know Brother Akin night is tonight to present the message so we get through. Yeah?
Sister Powell, Sister Leola. First, yes, Brother Akin will be speaking tonight. He should be on in another, about 10 minutes.
Okay.
I just want to thank my brothers and sisters for lifting my husband up in prayer, my family, and all of us up in prayer. You know, it's such a blessing to have family, to be able to pray for one another. So I'm grateful to my family on the prayer line, and I'm so grateful to what the Lord is doing with everyone. So I'm just grateful. I'm thanking the Lord for that. And also, Brother Akin will be joining us, and like I said, in about 10 minutes. So you can watch out for his number. He already texted me. Amen? So thank
Amen.
You again, brothers and sisters,
okay.
for all prayers.
Thank you.
I heard all the prayers. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Leola, for this information. Yes, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. As we know, I'm asking my brothers them to still press. We have few people on the line who did not press yet. We ask you to press 1 so that you can share. But brothers and sisters on this line, we are reading, we are studying the Word of God, we are studying the Bible Word, and we know what the Lord said, especially we are in the time of Matthew 24. And brothers and sisters, we are in the last days. And we saw all these signs, you know, have been fulfilled. And we are asking the Lord to keep us, to guide us, to protect us, so that we will able to stand in these last days that we are in. We are living in a closing seams of the earth history. Prophecy is fast fulfilling. The hour of probation are fast passing. We have no time, brothers and sisters. We are not setting any date because we do not know. But he said we must watch and we must pray. Not a moment we have to lose. Let us not be found sleeping on guard. Like this, who remember the five foolish virgins, right? Let no one say in his heart or by his work, my Lord delay it, is coming. And we found that in Matthew 24:48, let the message of Christ soon return sound forth in earnest words of warning. So my dear beloved brothers and sisters, we have a warning message to go out to the dying world so that we can share this message of the present truth message. And we know what the present truth message is, that Jesus is coming soon. We know that he is near, and we all have to prepare. So let us, Lord, ask him tonight, if we are not prepared, brothers and sisters, let us ask him to let come in. He's knocking at our heart door. He wants to come in, but we have to let him in. We have to give him the opportunity that he can come in. So let us pray, continually praying and asking him, Lord, please enter into our life. Let us ask him in our prayer to forgive us of all our many sins and shortcomings so that we can be gain that victory that he told us from all sin. He said the Lord is soon to come and we must be prepared to meet him. Meet him in peace. Determined, brothers and sisters, to do all our in our power to impart light to those around us. What is the light? Jesus is coming. Light of the truth, that we should be the light of the world so that we can go out to others to tell them, to those around us. We are not to be sad. Wow. We cannot be a Christian carrying the light and be sad, but cheerful, right? Cheerful. And we are to keep the Lord Jesus ever before us. He is soon coming, and we must be ready and waiting for his appearing. Oh, how glorious it will be to see him, and we welcome as the redeemed one. Long have we waited, for our hope is not to grow dim. If we can but see the King in his beauty, we shall be forever blessed. I feel as if I would cry aloud, homeward bound, we are nearing the time when Jesus will come in power and in great glory to take his ransom to their eternal home. What a wonderful promise is, my dear brothers and sisters on this line, that Jesus had gone to prepare a place for us and that he will come again to receive us. That is our hope, my dear brothers and sisters, to go out with this message, a message of hope, a message of truth, a message to bring a little light and a joy to those who are out there who do not know that Jesus is coming. Thank you. I hope in this line. And brothers and sisters, we asking you to press 857-505. Your line is open.
Hello, beloved. Hello, Sister Power. How are you, beloved brothers and sisters? My name is Brother Eli. I'd like to thank God, Sister Power, because God is good. He's awesome. He's worthy. He is worthy to be praised, beloved. God is good, beloved. Brothers and sisters, I have a testimony, Sister Power, and prayer request, and I want to encourage my dear brothers and sisters on this prayer line. My prayer request tonight, Sister Power, is to pray for my mom. Lift up my mom in prayer, Sister Power. Sister Power and Sister Miola, lift up my mom in prayer because my mom needs a lot of prayer. Don't forget to pray for me. Lift me up in prayer, Sister Power and Sister Miola. Don't forget to pray for Sister Shamika. Lift up Sister Shamika in prayer. Pray for Brother Jahari, Sister Power. Don't forget to lift him up in prayer. Pray for Brother Isma. Lift for Brother Isma in prayer. Pray for Brother Javel. Lift him up in prayer, Sister Power. And Sister Power and brothers and sisters on this prayer line, please lift up our dear Sister KDN. Lift up Sister KDN in prayer. Don't forget to pray for Brother Taiwan, Sister Power, that the Lord will change Brother Taiwan, Sister Power, that the Lord will make Brother Taiwan to have a heart of flesh, Sister Power, and because Sister Power, Brother Taiwan needs to take off that heart of stony heart. He needs a heart of flesh in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Because, Sister Power, there is a God who will break every chain for Brother Taiwan. There is a God who will deliver him at this moment. There is a God. There is a God. Brother Taiwan will hear that voice of the Lord and say, Brother Taiwan, you have to throw away the alcohol in the mighty name of Jesus. He has to throw away the alcohol in the mighty name of Jesus, because it's the power of God is able to break every chain from Brother Taiwan. God is able to unchange his life. God will make him to go to a sanctuary, Sister Power, because God is good. God is amazing God. God is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And Sister Dorothy's daughter, Do not worry. Do not be discouraged, my dear sister. Because my dear sister, my beloved sister, Dalton's daughter, do not be afraid. Because the Lord say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid? The Lord, he is good. He's a mighty God. Have faith in God. Just like Job, have faith in the Lord. Brother King James, keep the faith in the Lord, Brother King James. Brother King James, no matter what you are going through, Brother King James, may God bless you with your ministry. May God continue to guide you. May God continue to bless you, Brother King James, with your message, because God is good, Brother King James. Brother King James, continue to pray for me. And Sister Powell, please tell Brother King to reach out to me too. Tell Brother King to give me a call, Sister Powell. Tell Brother King to call me. Amen. Tell him to call me, Sister Powell. Yeah, Sister Powell, tell him to call me. Okay, Sister Powell. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Eli. A while ago, Sister Carlo, lift up your mother. She lifts up Shamiko. She lifts up every name that you have mentioned on the list. But we can also do it again, because more prayer, more power. And we want to thank you, Brother, for the joy in your heart, in courage and praying, you know, for each and every one of us, Lord. Especially you ask for prayer for Taiwan and, you know, Anthony Keisha and Isma Jahari, Javel and KDN and Shamiko, all those names, your mother, yourself, and for us. And God, hear your prayer, my dear, and he will answer our cry. So we know we serve a risen Savior. We serve a God who is in the world today. So let us pray, always pray. And, you know, God is able to do all things. I'm opening this line. It has 518-474-4426. I open your line. Yes. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from? Can you check your phone if it's on mute? Okay, I will try again. I don't know why I can't. Maybe too much line open. Okay, I'm going to close some line here if I get it. Okay, 518-744. Your line is open. 518-744. Okay, my dear. Well, brothers and sisters, Brother Akin is not here yet, so we're going to sing one other song, and we are going in prayer. Again, you know, we have a little time for our speaker to join us. Our speaker will be soon here. Lift up the trumpet and sound, let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Echo it, hilltop, proclaim it, O plain. Jesus is coming again. Coming in glory, the Lamb that was slain. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Jesus is coming again. Heavens of earth, tell the vast wandering throne, Jesus is coming again. Tempest and whirlwind, the anthem prolong. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Jesus is coming again. Nations are hungry, by this we do know. Jesus is coming again. Knowledge increases, men run to and fro. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Jesus is coming again. Yes, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, we know that Jesus is coming again. We saw all the signs is telling us that he is coming. All the signs that we saw around us, the crisis, the trials, the tribulation, he told us that he is coming again. Nation and are hungry. Men is running to and fro. But he is asking us, let us be faithful. Let us be obedient to follow his will and his command, that we know that whenever time is come, we all will be ready. Brother, not getting ready. We all will be ready to meet him. So I just want to thank my brothers and sisters for joining. The speaker is here now on the line. We want to thank God to allow our dear beloved brother, Dr. Hakeem, to be on the line to bring our sermon to us tonight. So let us offer a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful to you, our Father. You love us so much, dear Lord. And we thank you that we have a Father in heaven where we can contact. As we summon, Lord, to you this moment, each one of us on this line, you have heard all the various requests, dear Lord, point out to you, and that our determination and desire is to be obedient to your will, your command, and to follow your truth and to present your message to the dying world. Lord, this present truth for this time, Lord, that your coming is near. The song said, lift up the trumpet, loud let it sound. We have a message to go out there to lift up. But our life have to be right with you. We have to cover, wander your righteousness. The Holy Spirit have to be filled, fall upon us so that we will present your truth. Bless us and keep us, Lord, this moment. You have listened to the request of your dear beloved brother, Eli, praying, Lord, he loves these names to call out, praying for himself, his mom, Shamika, Johari, Ishmael, Javel, Karke, Diane, Taiwan, Tony, Elizabeth, Marian, and Rochelle, Anthony, and praying for Brother Akin to be strong, Lord, and that he will be able to carry the gospel message out there. So we just want to thank you for all the things that you have done. And now we present your manservant to you, Brother Akin. Cover him under your blood. The message that he will be presented, Lord, will be fresh bread from heaven coming down to you. Allow us, Lord, that we will be ready to enjoy that wonderful meal that you sent for us tonight in your word. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen, amen. Yes, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, I'm asking you to get your Bible, get your notebook pad, and your great controversy and, you know, other books of web, and that you will be ready to take note. And the next voice you will hear is your dear beloved Pastor Akin James. 301.
All right. Yes, indeed. Thank you so much. And I'm glad to be back on with each and every one of you. And I pray that you've been blessed. And that your hearts have been strengthened as you've been going through these different subjects concerning the eight kingdoms or the eight kings. The eighth is one of the five, or one of the previous seven, we should say, and that we found out that that was the papacy. And we saw a lot of different things, that there's coming a day when the civil leaders of this world will unite with the people system. And the power that will lead the world in doing that is none other than the United States of America, the kingdom that rises up for a short space of time. And what does it do in that short space of time? It sets the stage for the papal system to once again reign over the kings, now not just of Western Europe, but of the entire world. And so I'm going to read to you a few statements concerning that. Revelation chapter 17. And you can find these statements, if you so choose, in Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 983, all the way to page 983. So I'm going to read some statements there that brings this out more, and we'll break it down. But before we go into that, let's just have a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you would forgive me of my sins. Use me as a conduit to communicate your word, your truth. And Father, may your name be glorified. May Jesus be uplifted. And the things that we study, may it invigorate and stimulate our hearts and minds. Draw us to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right. So in order for this to happen, in order for the entire world to follow the papal system once again, as Europe followed the papal system during the Dark Ages, it has to mean that the deception is deep. And it states this actually in Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 983, paragraph 3. It states, Ellen White states here, in the 17th of the Revelation, in the 17th of Revelation is foretold the destruction of all the churches who corrupt themselves. Hold on 1 second, Prince. States there. Thank you for your patience, friends. It states there, in the 17th of Revelation, is foretold the destruction of all the churches who corrupt themselves by idolatrous devotion to the service of the papacy. Those who have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So I'll read that again. In the 17th of Revelation, which we have been studying, is foretold the destruction of all the churches who corrupt themselves. And that's what ultimately happens, right? The same powers that unite themselves with the papacy will ultimately, and the churches as well, the fallen churches, will turn against those religious entities. So in the 17th of the Revelation is foretold the destruction of all the churches who corrupt themselves by idolatrous devotion to the service of the papacy, those who have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Continuing, it says, thus is represented the papal power, which with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, by outside attraction and gorgeous display, deceives all nations. promising them, as did Satan, our first parents, all good to those who receive its mark, and all harm to those who oppose its fallacies. The power which has the deepest inward corruption will make the greatest display and will clothe itself with the most elaborate signs of power. The Bible plainly declares that this covers a corrupt and deceiving wickedness. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. What is it that gives its kingdom to this power? Here it is, friends. Here's how we know that the United States has to lead the way. This is why, as we're looking at all these things that are happening in the world, and we're getting flustered over these things, many times, friends, it's showing that Adventists don't, it's almost like we are not truly going back and studying the spirit of prophecy. Because the way that this thing will really go down after God's people are prepared is that Protestantism leads the way. And everyone else follows in giving, Protestantism specifically in this nation leads the way, and then everyone else will unite in rendering its power to the papal system. How do we know this? It states here, Letter 32, 1899, also found in Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 983, paragraph 5. What is it that gives its kingdom, that is the papacy, or gives its kingdom to this power? So who gives its power to the papacy? Here it is, Protestantism. A power which, while professing to have the temper, spirit of a lamb, oh, who's that we're talking about? We're talking about apostate Protestantism in the U.S., friends. While professing to have the temper and spirit of a lamb and to be allied to heaven, speaks with the voice of a dragon. That is the beast that we read about in Revelation chapter 17, and we read about that power specifically in verse 10. It says, and there are seven kings, five are fallen. We found out that the first five was what? Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, Papal Rome, right? Then it says one is. We found out that that was France. And the other, that's the seventh, is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And we found out that that was in reference to the second beast of Revelation 13, the lamb-like beast, or the beast with lamb-like horns. Let me say it that way, but spake as a dragon. It is speaking about Protestantism in the United States. It will rise up for a short time to do what? To raise up once again the papal system. So what is it that gives its kingdom to this power? Protestantism, a power which, while professing to have the temper and spirit of a lamb and to be allied to heaven, speaks with the voice of a dragon. It is moved by a power from beneath. Friends, that's heavy. So this is what God is revealing to us at this time. He's revealing to us this crucial point that Protestantism will be the first major player. This is why it is true, while it is true, that when we see Sunday laws passing in other nations, yeah, we should see, okay, yes, this could be how things go down in certain areas, go down when it finally comes to the United States. Some can say that. But friends, I tell you the truth. The real situation of the end game, after God's people being prepared, does not happen until the United States takes on and raises up that mark. This is what Bible prophecy has foretold, and this is why we must be careful to not cry wolf before the time. We must be very careful in how we approach Bible prophecy, because we can tell people, hey, this is about to come, it's over, everything's about to end, and friends, it was a false call, because we didn't base on what the prophecies had foretold. The prophecy tells us who are the major players. Let us stick with the word of God. Because if we don't, what will happen is we will become a people that instill fear in people to continually be in panic. I'm now realizing why Ellen White actually states She says, it is not, we must not continually be about the work of keeping before the people the shortness of time as an incentive to follow Jesus Christ. Because what happens is people will then follow him out of fear. And friends, a relationship developed out of fear will only last for so long. We must operate on the more sure word of prophecy. A confederacy, and this is now concerning, I'm going to read a statement concerning verses 13 and 14. This is Revelation 17, verses 13 and 14. It says there, it says, these have one mind. So this is when finally all the civil leaders unite with the papal system as they were guided to by the bastion of the United States. It says here, these have one mind and shall give power, give their power and strength unto the beast. That's the papal system. These shall make war with the Lamb, Jesus, and Jesus shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. And the reason it talks about they that are with him is because the way that the papal system, along with the leaders of the world, the United States at the forefront, giving its power over to the papacy along with the kings of the earth, they unite against Christ in the person of his people. That's why the called, chosen, and faithful are mentioned. His people are mentioned because they're the ones being attacked, and Christ must now come and deliver them. So she says concerning that statement, these have one mind. There will be a universal bond of union, one great harmony, a confederacy of Satan's forces, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Thus is manifested the same arbitrary oppressive power against religious liberty, freedom to worship God according to the dictates of conscience, as was manifested by the papacy, when in the past it persecuted those who dared to refuse to conform with the religious rites and ceremonies of Romanism. So it's going to be resurrected, but it's going to be worldwide. In the warfare to be waged in the last days, they will be united in opposition to God's people. So this is how the Lamb is being attacked. Christ is being attacked in the person of his people. In the warfare to be waged in the last days, they will be united in opposition to God's people, all the corrupt powers that have apostatized from allegiance to the law of Jehovah. In this warfare, the Sabbath of the fourth commandment will be the great point at issue. Sabbath commandment, the great lawgiver, identifies himself as the creator of the heavens and the earth. So this is what it's coming down to. The whole world will confederate under the guidance of the papacy, will confederate against God's people. And the major issue will be the Sabbath. This will be the major issue. All right, now the original place that can be found is in manuscript 24, 1891, and also in Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 983, paragraph 7. Christ is glorified, however, in this last crisis. As Christ was glorified on the day of Pentecost, so will he again be glorified in the closing work of the gospel. So while all of this is going on, the work of the gospel is still going on, but it's coming to a close. When he, so it says, as Christ is glorified on the day of Pentecost, so will he again be glorified in the closing work of the gospel. When he shall prepare a people to stand the final test in the closing conflict of the great controversy. And it's a great controversy because souls can still be won or still be lost, right? There's decisions that have to be made. By the time Jesus comes, I mean, we know that probation has closed a short time prior. It's not necessarily the great controversy after the millennium when the wicked gather around the city. There's a controversy there, and in a sense, it is part of the great controversy. But when that term is used, it's talking about it many times in the context that decisions are still being made. A war is being waged over souls. Well, at the executive judgment, friends, after the millennium, there's no warfare trying to win souls to the kingdom or out of it, right? Everyone has made their decision. The righteous are inside of the city, and they will forever be saved. The wicked are on the outside of the city, and they will forever be lost. There's no changing sides at that time. So this is why we're talking about this aspect of the great controversy. And so we're seeing that how does this thing go down? After God's people are prepared, what happens? The next step is the United States leads the way in setting up this Sunday law, venerating the papal system. The world follows the U.S. as the superpower, and they then render all of their power unto Protestantism in the United States, and the United States civil power, along with all the civil powers of the world, will unite and render their power for a short time over to the papal system. And so while this is coming, this is when Revelation 18 takes place. So as this is happening and the battle is getting more fierce, the powers of the world are beginning to give their power over to the papal system. It is at that time that the message of salvation will go forth in its greatest power. And this is why Revelation 17 is followed by Revelation 18, the chapter of the loud cry. Because the loud cry happens during the time these confederacies are being made. During the time the United States is beginning to render its power over to the papal system and make an image to it. During the time when the world begins to follow the United States in rendering its power to the papacy. At the same time, God is working on a people and he's raising them up. This is why the devil then has room to work like that through the United States and the kings of the earth. Because what is happening? He is seeing a people getting ready. He is seeing a people coming into harmony with Jehovah to the point that they now stand ready. And so as a result, he's like, no, the church is not sleeping anymore. I have to do a work to stamp this out, lest I lose more citizens from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So the loud cry is going forth at this very moment. Hence, the very next chapters we read in Revelation chapter 18, it is the chapter of the loud cry. Inspiration says the prophecies in the 18th of Revelation will soon be fulfilled. During the proclamation of the third angel's message, another angel is to come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth is to be lightened with his glory. The Spirit of the Lord will so graciously bless consecrated human instrumentalities that men, women, and children will open their lips in praise and thanksgiving, filling with the knowledge of God and with his unsurpassed glory as the waters cover the sea. Can you imagine that? That's why it makes sense then there's a confederacy, right? In response to this, Satan is forming a confederacy, because what Revelation 18 is revealing is that there's a loud cry happening. God's character is being revealed in a major way, more than ever before. His unsurpassed glory is filling the earth as the waters cover the sea. And the devil is like, whoa, I'm losing people to this. Those who have held the beginning of their confidence firm unto the end will be wide awake during the time that the third angel's message is proclaimed with great power. In other words, we will know the Spirit is pouring out. We will know that the character of God is going forth. We will know that now God has brought Laodicea to a point that they're ready. Friends, and that's why I'm saying to us, I'm looking at this and I was thinking about this. I was like, Lord, I'm even reading this statement and it's blowing my mind away, because I was thinking about it. I was talking to the Lord in the car the other day. I was saying, Lord, you know, it's interesting. Everybody's looking at every single thing that's happening all over the world. They're looking at this and they're thinking, man, things are about to just end. It's about to come, Lord Jesus. This thing's just got to wrap up. Knowing full well that not everyone has heard the gospel. Knowing full well there's still backslidings in the church. There's still gossiping in the church. There's still people who are focusing more on the Jesuits than on Jesus Christ, more on the papal system than having a righteousness by faith experience with Jesus. And so I said, Lord, in light of this focus being somewhere else, Lord, is it that we just won't know that when your people are ready and we just have to expect that the events are going forward, then that means your people are ready? And I was coming to the realization upon studying prophecy more, I was seeing that God was showing me a king. Remember, don't forget that the Sunday law was on the verge of being passed in the days of the first pioneers, in the days of the pioneers of this movement. And when that Sunday law was on the very verge of being passed, I pulled it back. The issue is not the end time events. My people are focusing their attention end time events, which they should understand, but they are failing to have an experience with me to meet those events. And if they don't have that experience, I will pull back the Sunday law. It could be right on the verge of being passed, friends, and God will stop it. And friends, you remember that entire generation died in the wilderness, right? That entire generation of pioneers that were thinking, Ellen White was hoping that, hey, this would be it. If they would only accept the righteousness by faith message, we can end this. But friends, they would not. And so what was the result? Sunday law was pulled back. It wasn't passed, Senator Blair. Sunday law wasn't passed. And that entire generation, Ellen White said as she went to some of the meetings, general conference meetings, and she saw the attitude of the people thinking that, whoa, Jesus is about to come, while knowing they were attacking each other. They were backbiting. They were gossiping about each other, rejecting the righteousness by faith message while thinking, we're ready. Jesus, you can come now. And God was up in heaven weeping. Ellen White was weeping. It came to a point, friends, where she didn't even want to live anymore, based on her own words, because she realized the people thought they were rich and increased with good. But friends, they weren't ready. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, but is it that if you're saying that we must get to a point where we're ready, that we can know when the church has come to a point that it is ready? Of course, many will fall out. It is not that it will happen in the majority at first, of course. It is a few. But can we know? And friends, this statement reveals that if we are wide awake, if we have the Spirit, we can see that God is making a people ready. And this is why, despite the fact of many people looking many other places, my main focus is, am I ready and are the people of God ready? This is the main question. And she says here, those who have held the beginning of their confidence firm until the end will be wide awake during the time that the third angel's message is proclaimed with great power. In other words, they will know God's power is at work. His people are assimilating. They're coming together. A true revival is happening. Whoa, a transformation. And friends, as you read back in the days of our pioneers, it just makes sense, because when the latter rain was beginning to fall and the Spirit of God was moving, Ellen White can recognize it. We read that E.J. Wagner, A.T. Jones, W.W. Prescott, many others, they were able to recognize when the Spirit of God was moving upon his people in different parts of the country and even the world. So if we are in tune with the Lord, we will be able to recognize, okay, that people are being assembled. This is why stuff is moving forward. And it's not even based on stuff moving forward. We will be able to see it in the church. And so this is why it's vital for us to make sure that our lives are ready. No readiness, friends, no second coming. The second coming will come when God has his people that are giving, that have experienced the fourth angel, and they are giving the message of the fourth angel. So it says there, Revelation 18, verse 1, it says, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And we just read about that, right? Spirit of the Lord will so graciously bless consecrated human instrumentalities that men, women, and children will open their lips in praise and thanksgiving, filling the earth. Now notice, you know it's powerful. The emphasis here, notice, all the way studying prophecy, and they will tell prophecy. There's no doubt. Majority of Revelation 18, which is part of the loud cry, is a prophetic unveiling of Babylon. But friends, before this, notice what the human instrumentalities proclaim. The Spirit of the Lord will so graciously bless consecrated human instrumentalities that men, women, and children will open their lips in praise and thanksgiving. Notice it doesn't even mention prophecy yet. It is praise and thanksgiving to God, filling the earth with the knowledge of God and with his unsurpassed glory. That's his character. And that's what Revelation 18:1 talks about. Before it ever talks about Babylon and being filled and inhabited with devils, the first major things that happens are the people open their lips not in complaints but in praise, in thanksgiving for what God has done. And then they tell the world about God's character. There's so much so that it fills the earth as the waters cover the sea. Wow. That is what they start off with. Then they go into verses 2 to 4, or verses 2 all the way to the end of the chapter, laying wide open the sins of Babylon. But they begin with thanksgiving, praise, and a revelation of God's character of love. Continues, amid the confusing cries, and this is happening, and this is powerful, because I just started as I was studying the scriptures and studying the writings of Ellen White and also investigating different things, I began to realize this is around the time where the enemy appears as what is called the Maitreya, or he appears as the false Christ. And I used to think, whoa, this happens after the close of probation, because you read it in Great Controversy, chapter 39, the chapter entitled The Time of Trouble, and in there you find Satan appearing as Christ. But it's not only in there that you find Satan appearing as Christ, friends. Many people, they look at that and they're like, you see, this is after probation closes. The first few paragraphs of Great Controversy, let's check it out. This is powerful, because this is something that I came to the realization of just a few weeks ago. So this is Great Controversy, chapter 39, Time of Trouble. It starts off with this aspect of the close of probation, right? Michael stands up. It says here, at that time shall Michael stand up, a great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. When the third angel's message closes, mercy no longer pleads for the guilty inhabitants of the earth. The people of God have accomplished their work. They have received the latter rain. That's Revelation 18. That's found in chapter 38. The refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and they are prepared for the trying hour before them. And so you have this aspect of probation closed, right? And then later on, it mentions the aspect of Satan appearing as Christ. Now, as people read this, they're like, you see, so Satan appears as Christ after probation closes. But friends, do you know that when you read the chapter entitled The Impending Conflict in chapter 36, you also find the mention of Satan appearing as Christ? Do you know that? And we know that the impending conflict takes place prior to the close of probation, right? This is as the conflict is beginning to ensue and grow, where specific liberties are being taken away in light of the Sunday law issue, specifically. And so in that chapter, chapter 36, and we know it's going in chronological order, chapter 36, the impending conflict, chapter 37, a warning to us to come back to scriptures in light of the impending conflict as our safeguard, and then chapter 38, the loud cry. Chapter 39, close of probation, showing us this aspect of the great time of trouble, right? Jesus ceases his intercession. But in chapter 36, the impending conflict, it also mentions the revelation of Satan as Christ. So this is how we know prior. It's not only as it concerns after, but it will also be taking place prior to the close of probation. Satan appears as the Son of God, seeking to win the world to himself. And friends, when that takes place, you better believe. When he appears, we are told he will push the very thing that the papacy in the United States has been pushing all along, this aspect of Sunday legislation. This is when everything will really kick off as never before. And so this is why we have to understand the chronological order of the layout of the prophecies. And so as we look at this now, you'll be having the loud cry going forth, a revelation of God's character as it is revealed in Jesus, and you'll be having Satan's loud cry going forth, Satan appearing to the world. So the message will be the end time. In the end of time, there will be two messages, both Christ, one pertaining to a false Messiah, and one pertaining to the true. And so God's people will be going forth, giving the loud cry at the very time when Satan is trying to use the civil leaders of the world, the religious powers of earth, and the papal system to give his cry that will force, that will enforce specific kinds of worship. So it will be two presentations, one of a false Messiah, one of a true, one uplifting God's law, and one downplaying that law, trying to skew it. And so the question now is, on which side will we stand? If we are wide awake, we will stand on the right side. But this is why we have to truly study these chapters to know, hey, whoa, okay, this is when this thing is going to play out. Because, friends, if we don't study it, as I mentioned before, we will be saying game over when the game isn't over. We'll be saying, hey, this thing is about to wrap up right now, not realizing that there are certain prophetic events to take place. This is why I say to us, even more than myself, friends, I say to us, before we listen to people, yes, let me not say before, but even while we're listening to people on YouTube, whether it be our favorite preacher, they say, friends, even with myself, before, while you're hearing what I'm saying, take what I'm telling you and go back to the scriptures and study it for yourselves. Ask God to lead you by yourself to understand what the prophecies are saying. Because what happens is that people, if they're taught the wrong thing and they don't go back and study, they begin to become impersonations of the ministers that they're listening to, rather than maintaining their individuality in Christ Jesus to understand these things and realize that the minister can go wrong. The person that they just heard could go wrong. That even though this person may have cried wolf and said, hey, it's about to wrap up next year, if they start setting dates, that, friends, we won't be easily deceived. People have risen up setting date after date. And the amazing thing is people are still following them. Why? Because they're not studying for themselves. Or if they're studying, they're studying through the lens, through the interpretation of the very minister that they just listened to. This is why we have to come away. There was a time, friends, I tell you the truth, I had to literally turn off every preacher that I was listening to. And for a few months, almost 8 months to a year, just study the Bible and the spirit of prophecy by itself. And have the Lord lead me. And I began to realize, wow, these men that at one moment I idolized, sadly, that there were areas in which I realized, whoa, I differ with them on this point because I myself was studying. It's not necessarily that I was right, but friends, I realized on a lot of things, I was copying things that were not right. And God had to guide me away from these preachers to have me study for myself. I'm not saying to you don't listen to the YouTube ministers that you listen to, but what I'm saying is take that and compare it to the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. Ask God to lead you personally. Next week, what we will do is we will go further into chapter 18. We've gone over chapter 17, and we'll go further into the loud cry of chapter 18, because we're going to see this is going forth simultaneously with a confederation that's happening in the world with the papal system and all of the other powers that have apostatized from the truth. So two powers confederating: God's people uniting, people coming out of the world and uniting with them, and the papal system and the leadership of the world uniting and all the religious bodies of the world uniting, one against the other, to ultimately come to what the Bible calls the Battle of Armageddon, which reaches its climax in the great time of trouble. So friends, I pray that this made sense, and let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I pray, O God, that you will have us to study your word and the spirit of prophecy more. The Lord, take time, let a break, and the Lord, just really sit down. And Lord, I know that there are many who are doing this already, but if we have not, Lord, and if we have not come away from the presuppositions of the very preachers that we're listening to and study for ourselves, that we will do so, Lord. Help us to study, to learn, that we may become all that you would have us to be. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, my dear brother, Elder Pastor Akin, for that presentation. And brothers and sisters, I'm asking you, y'all, let us really go and study this. Because I have a question, brother Akin, to ask you, right? The early rain, right? I'm just asking how the early rain came in AD 31 at Pentecost, right? Brother Akin? Yes, I'm going to open up. Brother Akin?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, yes. I was asking you this question, right?
But then, right.
The early rain came in the year AD 31 at Pentecost with the apostles, you know, when they went into the upper room. That was the early rain, right?
Right.
Right.
Yes.
So those individuals was obedient to God's command, you know, what they are
yes.
going to see, what with the message. And from that early rain, asking you the question, right, those
yes.
people who accept Christ fully surrender everything, the disciples, pour out all.
Yes.
And
yes.
they got that early rain. And we find out and read that over 3,000 people at that time, right,
yes.
came into the faith, right? And the
yes.
message started go out to all over the world. So that we
That's
could,
right.
you know, hear the true message, right?
Yes.
So that is total surrender, totally surrender
yes.
to God and faithful
Amen.
To God, right? Now,
Amen.
The other right, the other question, that is the early rain. So I'm not, so the far, that was the former rain, right? And
right.
the latter rain now, right? So do you think, brother, my dear beloved brother, that the mm-hmm. former rain is out on some people who, brothers and sisters who are converted now, who are doing the message, carrying the message out to the dying world, who are sharing God's truth to the world, and souls have been gathering, and they are gathering the harvest now?
Right. So this is something that you pointed out that was powerful. So the early rain, one of the ways that the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy explains it is that it was an event and also a season. So the early rain started, as you said, with the apostles on the day of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been falling since that time, even to our day. So when someone is, as you mentioned, converted to the faith, it is because of the outpouring of the early rain in their lives, right? So we're still experiencing the early rain today. However, what's happening is that while there are people who are converted, and this is true, there are people in every generation, even in the days of Ellen White, A.T. Jones, E.J. Wagner, these people were converted. They had major rough edges. Of course, E.J. Wagner and E.T. Jones, ultimately, they left that experience and they fell away. But there were those who were converted in Ellen White's time. But here was the problem. The problem was that there were other leaders who led much of the church away from that experience of the early rain and
the result of receiving the fullness of the early rain, perfection of character, she says, they would have received the latter. She says that the latter started to summation of Christ, our righteousness. But as they rejected that message, their entire experience was jeopardized. Hence, as converted as they were, people like Uriah Smith and others, they lost it because they rejected the most important message, which would have in turn revealed their own condition. So this is why I say today, even though there are those who are converted to the faith, they're experiencing the early rain, on a greater degree as a church, and it's true, it's not that the majority have to accept it. We know that they won't. But at least a certain portion, God is requiring that they receive it to move forward. And in every generation since Ellen White's generation, he has been asking that question, will you follow me? That's why we're still here, because God's request has not been answered. So people have been experiencing it, but they've been falling away from it. Some people, they still have it, but God wants to have an entire generation, because once the early rain has done its work of perfection of character, Ellen White says, then, and the Bible shows, then the latter rain falls. She says the latter rain will fall on no soul who has not perfected Christian character.
Okay. Right?
Yes, a little further. It's very interesting, Brother Akeem James. Right now, because when you were reading, I go into it. And it also states here, the latter rain will come, and the blessing of God will fill every soul that is purified from every defilement. That is what you said. It is our work today to heal our soul to Christ, that we may be fitted for the time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, fitted for baptism of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So it is also telling us that we have to be active laborers in Christ's service. So we have to there. When the church becomes living, working churches, the Holy Spirit will be given in to answer to their sincere request. Then the windows of heaven will be open for the showers of the latter rain.
Yes, that's right.
And for the last part, my dear beloved, are we hoping to see the old church revive, my dear brother?
I guess. Well, no, we're not.
Okay. That time will never come.
That's right. It
will never come. There are persons in the church who are not converted and who will not unite in earnest, prevailing prayer. We must enter upon the work individually, brothers and sisters, and we must pray more and talk less. I will shut my mouth now. I'm so sad. My dear brother. I am so thankful tonight, my dear Pastor Akeem, you know, for that presentation. And brothers and sisters, we have to really keep our lamp burning. We have to trim our lamp. We have to go into our closet, right? Because we heard the word, and this is the truth. And the Lord wish above all things that our children settle in the truth. And this is the true message that we have taught. So I just want to thank Brother Akeem. I don't know if anyone on the line have any question. We would like to give you the opportunity. You can press star 8 and take off yourself off the line and ask Pastor Akeem James any question on the study tonight that you don't understand. I'm so thankful that I was able to, you know, ask some question. And thank you for your reply, your answer, my dear Brother Akeem.
God's grace.
Okay. Well, there is no one, so we're going to close as in prayer. I just want to thank everyone tonight for joining. You know, this is a wonderful study for us. And we are asking our brothers and sisters, go back to study. But, you know, Revelation, we have Revelation 17, And we also have Revelation 18, Revelation 13, 2, and we can read, and we have our book, Bible, and the prophecy. Let us continue, brothers. And our if there is no other time we need to go to the Lord, is now. Let's pray. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, we want to thank you for your spoken word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit in our midst. And we are asking you, each one, Lord, as we listen to your words of truth, and it enlighten us, Lord. We place it in our mind, Father. We are asking you to forgive us of many, many sins that we have committed. And even your word, Lord, help us, Lord, to be obedient to your command. Help us, Father, that we will continue to lift up ourselves, our brothers, our sister in prayer. Allow us, dear Father, as a church, Lord, that we will stand for truth and that you will abide in each one of us' heart. So we pray for our leadership, Lord, in our church. Let us not blame, point finger, but help us, dear Lord, that we will come boldly to the throne to ask you, Lord, for help. If there is no other time we need your help for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon your children, so we will stop, Lord, doing the things that we are doing, Father, and think that we know you, Lord, and we reach there. But, Father, we have to come to you boldly tonight. And as you are knocking to enter into our heart, Lord, that we will freely open our heart and receive you. Bless each heart on this line. Keep us, Lord. We present those who are mourning tonight. We present those who was in accident, Lord, Brother Ray, Sister Leola, husband. But we thank you, your Lord, for your protection. Lord, those who are mourning, Lord, I lost my dear friend, dear father, but I thank you, Lord, that you have allowed her out of pain. Continue to bless her children, her nieces and her grandchildren who are mourning at this time. Father, I'm asking you, Lord, my niece children, Lord, lost their mom. I'm asking you to comfort on Damien, Lilibet, Patrika, and Tashana, and the grandchildren, and also her ex-husband, Nev, Lord. Comfort them. The mom is in the hospital. Father, you are the great physician. So bless her. Lord, bless us tonight, and we thank you for that feast from heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, my dear beloved, everyone. Remember, tomorrow night we will be having our prophecy reading by Elder Richardson. So we are asking you to join us, the end time reading. Thank you again, and God bless. Thank you, Pastor Keane. We will just...